Blog Talk Radio.
Eric.
Welcome to Occupy Underground Radio, episode number 27.
27.
We're growing up, Mary. We are growing up.
Yeah,
we're
almost in our 30s. It's crazy.
I know. We should have a birthday party.
What do we have in store for this show, Benjamin?
We've got Margaret von Schnorkelstein. Are you there,
hello.
Margaret?
Yep.
Hello.
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 How's it going, guys?
It's going good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty all right. I just finished like my third episode of Doctor Who after accidentally ditching class.
Oh, right. I know how that happens. Did you see that episode of Portlandia where they started watching Battlestar Galactica and then like lost their jobs until the show was over? And then when they got done, as they're hanging out with like Admiral Adama and Gaius Baltar, because they got like, yeah, did you see that one?
It was
all crazy. Then they decided, well, let's watch Doctor Who now.
I didn't see that one, but no, here's the thing, is like I walked into my house after work, and I was thinking, oh, I don't have to be in class till 7:30, cool, and my roommates were watching Portlandia. No joke.
Fuck yeah.
Sat down, started awesome watching show. Portlandia with the roommates, and then all of a sudden realized, like, oh, I wasn't supposed to be at class at 7:30 today. I was supposed to be at class at 6.
How many roommates do you have?
How many what?
Margaret?
Roommates?
Yeah.
I have three.
Is one of them named Mark?
No. I have Sarah,
no.
Drew,
okay.
And Kevin.
Okay. Well, then we were wrong, Mary. Mary and I thought, oh, maybe
we were
wrong. To your house.
Yeah.
We were wrong.
Where did you thought what?
We thought that we had been to your house because our friend Mark has a bunch of roommates. And for some reason, why did we think that she might be one of them, Mary? Do you remember? Were we just
because telling? One of Mark's roommates is also a female comedian, and maybe her name is similar.
Okay.
And then we were high.
Okay, we were.
That happens sometimes.
It does.
Yeah,
we're
no,
like,
I live with three other comics.
See, that's
three
cool.
Other comics. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet.
A lot of fun times.
So far, it's been pretty good. We've lived here for like 2 weeks now. And so we're still all in the we like each other phase.
Oh, that's cool. That's always a fun time.
Yeah.
And the getting to
and
know
it
each
always
other's
helps.
Idiosyncrasy.
Yeah.
Me and Corey live together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did. So
yeah.
For almost about 9 months or something like that?
Something
enough
like that.
Just
I have a real
baby.
Bad, hard
I think
time. Yeah, long enough to have a baby.
Yeah, long enough to once the baby was born, I left. He stopped paying
that's
child
right.
Support, and I was like, I'm out of here. No, I think it's about 5 months, I think me and Ben started wanting to choke each other a little bit, and not in a pleasant way.
Right.
But, you know, that's just kind of how it is with roommates. It's just hard living with people, no matter who it is, because you always got to have your space. And if I could imagine living with three other people. That's crazy. Hope there's a big house and a place where you can go to just be yourself.
Oh, yeah. Our house is actually rather big. It's a pretty big house. It's cool.
So,
if you don't know Margaret, Corey calls in every Thursday night from the future. He's in the Eastern time zone. So it's like tomorrow for him.
Two hours ahead.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I gotta
what's Friday looking like,
of course? tomorrow, Friday the 13th, I'm going to go to a buddy's birthday party. Actually, three people's birthday parties. So that's what I'm doing. But this weekend, I'm going to learn how to Thriller. So I'm pretty excited about that for
the dance
the zombie
Thriller?
Walk. Yeah, they're
I know how to do the dance, Corey. I'm classically trained in the Michael Jackson dance moves, if you didn't know.
So October 19th in Flint, they're having their third annual, I believe, zombie walk, and it gets bigger every year. And so part of it is if you go and learn the dance moves with the dances, you get to actually do the thriller in full makeup and everything. So
That sounds pretty wicked. I went to the Denver zombie crawl in 2010, and that one was wicked.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be on such a massive scale, but I hope that it's something that continues to grow, gets people out there, you know what I mean? So I'll be there taking pictures as well.
It is,
so you get to dress up like a zombie? Like... Do you have your costume picked out, Corey?
No, not yet. I'm going to have to go. I'm gonna get, like, old school 80s. I think I'm going to go, like, Michael Jackson.
Leather
band,
glove.
Cover photo.
I hit up the thrift shop because I knew I was going to be covered in blood when I got back, so I just didn't even bother with it, like, ruining any of my clothes.
I went to zombie prom a while back, and we were hitting up thrift shops trying to find dresses, and I ended up, like, just going and getting a cheap one somewhere that wasn't a thrift shop, but totally just, like, tore the shit out of that dress. It was awesome.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. I went to zombie prom at the launch pad.
Yeah,
I was totally there.
I was
taking pictures. I got pictures.
I was there. I was covered in blood.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, speaking of costumes, I just actually had a thought. Have you guys ever seen the movie Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I watched that movie like 3 nights ago.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Dressing up like the dead guy there. I think that'd be actually a good one. The green face with the zipper lips.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy. Right? His name was Billy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was Billy.
That's awesome. That would be a good costume.
I think so, too. I'm going to definitely do that. Thanks for the inspiration, guys. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what's everyone else planning on being for Halloween?
Well, I'm going to go something Day of the Dead because we've got this big show that we're putting together for Day of the Dead weekend anyway, and that's like the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't know, honestly, though. I don't know if I'll dress up for something different for Halloween, you know, or not, but... I haven't lived in New Mexico very long, and I am really excited about the big Day of the Dead culture out here. And I like that the style of the skull face paint makeup. I might dress up something like a nice suit with a skull face paint. Do you want to be a robot, Mary?
I've always wanted to do a robot costume and like to go to Home Depot and get like the pipe fittings and like foil and like make it like a really elaborate, just like fucking cool ass robot costume. Like, you know, freaking funnels as boobs and like freaking just, I don't know, funky things like bolts. And it would probably be a very expensive costume. I should start gathering up scrap. I'll be a rusty one. Never mind, that's going to be too expensive. You're going to have to like put some aluminum foil all over me. I'm going to be a robot. Yep.
That. We could do it with cardboard and aluminum foil. I think we could get pretty creative.
I want to be a robot for Halloween,
Okay. I think we should get started on that costume soon.
It's going to take some time.
Do you have the big robot head?
What were you guys last year for Halloween?
Fuck. I don't remember Halloween last year.
Yeah, I was James Bond. And you were just dressed in a suit. Or no, you were like a weird abracadabra like suit guy. Remember you had the cape and the little beanie. We went to me and Ben actually went to the gay club for Halloween. That's where we went.
Did we?
Oh well, yeah, that's fitting.
Fuck yeah.
Ben,
okay, cool.
Ben doesn't drink very often, so when he does, he tends to forget everything.
Awesome. Bartender, another roofie colada, please.
Oh, and at the gay bar, you know that's all you're getting.
Right, totally.
I can walk in there completely sober, have like 1.5 drinks, and be done for 2 days.
They do. They fucking liquor it up down there. It's
they
like potent shots.
Yeah.
They want to get you schnockered.
They do.
Yeah, they want
it's
you
wonderful.
To get to try things that you might not be comfortable with without alcohol, that's for sure.
And we're dancing on the roof. Yeah, I think they are. They're trying to, it's helpful for the community. We're trying to get you some action.
Uh-huh.
Get you some action.
Which sometimes if you're a straight person in the gay bar,
lowering
it's
the
helpful.
Inhibition,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, like, especially the one downtown, like, yeah, I'm fine going to a gay bar, but there's certain ones where I'm like, all right, that's too much even for me. I'm open-minded, but, like, that it's pretty bad. Like, oh.
Right.
No, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm hating everyone in here. How's your women? How's your children?
How's your kids? How's your wife?
How's your wife? How's your girlfriend? Your dog? Hi, those two.
Hi, guys.
Hide
your
hamster.
Hide your hamster.
Bemo, hide.
That's right.
Bemo, go in the
hamster.
Tube. No, not that tube, Bemo. Don't go in that tube. Oh, my God. They do horrible things.
No, that's the wrong tube.
Yeah. The Richard Gere tube.
Right, because Mary's got a little hamster that likes to go hide in the tube when he gets scared, so.
Oh, what kind of hamster is he?
He's like a fancy hamster. He's white, and he's got like one brown spot, and he's a fancy hamster, and he's my daughter's, and she got him for her 9th birthday. And his name is Bemo. And when we first got him, he was biting. Now he, like, goes up to the cage and waits for someone to come take him out.
Oh, that is so cute.
She totally trained him. She tamed him. She's a little beast master, the rodent master. He's all cute.
She is.
We put him in his ball, and he goes everywhere. It's all your own.
Well, one of the schools I work at, we have a hamster. And that hamster escaped a while back, like, got out of its cage and was missing for 2 days. In the school cafeteria. I shouldn't have told this story. But, yeah, missing for 2 days in the school cafeteria, so we're expecting to find a dead hamster somewhere and have to get rid of it before the kids or, you know, like, I don't know, food inspectors or something find
yeah.
a hamster.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 days later, found it, totally alive. Fine. We still have the hamster.
Nice.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's escaped a couple times, but we've caught him, like, shortly after. So he's not really gotten away from us, but he's funny. He's got personality for sure. The dog yesterday, I think he just barely noticed that it was alive or if it was like alive, you know, because he was sitting
right.
there in front of the cage, just like on point, just staring at it, like, what the fuck are you doing?
What the
running
fuck
on that
are
wheel.
You?
Yeah. You're not even going anywhere.
What
you're just running on
you?
That wheel. And then you stop and you lick your hands and clean your ears. And then you start running again. What the hell is wrong with you? He was just staring at the hamster. It was funny.
I think they serve a purpose. I think that they're generating some type of kinetic energy that flows through the galaxy when they're running in these wheels in the sun. They're actually doing something hugely beneficial for the universe, and we don't even know it.
Yeah,
they're
not
just releasing endorphins. Yeah, is that it?
They're training for their escape. That's what they're doing.
Okay.
Even the peaky in the brain.
And sometimes it pays off.
For fuck yeah, Pinky the Brain was the shit, dude. That was like one of my favorite shows on Animaniacs.
I was
on Animaniacs.
In the Garden of Mindy.
To the max. I remember that shit.
The Garden of Mindy, yeah.
Yeah, and she's just like, okay, love you, lady. Bye-bye.
Were you talking about that earlier, Mary?
No, I was talking about the Secret of Mindy.
Oh. No, the last
one.
It's the secret of Nim.
The secret of Nim. Okay, all right. Yeah, it was the Rodent. Rodents are on my brain, man. You know, the secret of Nim was a really good movie, a cartoon. I watched
it
a lot when I was
It was.
It was. Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, that's right. Who else?
Was that the mice? Were they mice?
Yeah. The rats.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, secret powers because they were lab rats that escaped. And the lab was looking for him, and they had, like, psychic powers and kinetic powers and all kinds of stuff. And there was, like, the owl, and it was, like, she was trying to find medicine for her little mouse boy named Timothy. And she had to go visit the wise owl, and she ran into that crazy crow that had all the string all over him, and she had Jeremiah, I can't remember his name. But she had to, like, untangle him from all the string. And at the end, he had a girlfriend, and they were flying around, and they were making hearts with their string. It was cute.
That is awesome.
I don't remember that at all. just vaguely. I was drunk through most of my childhood, so.
There's a lot of these old ones that it's like I haven't seen in so many years that I really want to watch them again. I remember watching The Neverending Story with Corey like last year sometime, and I hadn't seen that one in years. And it's do you know that
brave little
dude Brave Little Toaster. Oh my God, that was a good one. Do you remember? Okay, that little dude that rode the snail in and Neverending Story was the same dude that played the Oompa Loompas in the newer Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
It was the same
guy.
You're right.
No, fuck that guy. I hate that guy. No, because all I remember him from is an episode of The X-Files.
Oh, he's creepy, isn't he?
And I was like, oh, he's so creepy. And in this episode, he was, like, coming out of people's bodies and, like, you know, do you guys remember when you were kids in MPE, you had the little scooters that you would, like, go around on and you just play on the scooters? The little, and
yeah,
then you'd run over your
pushing cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you wiggle with them? Or the wiggle
one? Yeah, basically rolling around on one of those. And I think that is the one episode of The X-Files from my childhood that, like, haunted me. And so then to see him in Oompa Loompa, I was pissed.
Oompa Loompa. He was all of them.
He was all of the Oompa Loompas. Yeah.
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 The whole movie
right
was
there.
Just,
fuck that guy.
It wasn't
fuck
cool.
That guy.
It wasn't cool. He needs to not be ever anywhere.
No. Yeah. Somebody should just put him in a bread box somewhere and stick him in a dumbwaiter and not open the door.
He would fit. He would fit, and I wouldn't miss him.
He should join the circus.
Me
and scare other children.
Hey guys. Sorry, I gotta get going. I gotta be to work tomorrow, and then I got fight training for 4 hours. So,
you know who else is training for fights, Corey?
James.
Faceless James.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be at a casino.
So,
oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, and Mary and I are gonna put together. We're gonna organize a fight between you and James, and you have to come out to
Albuquerque.
Yeah,
we figured that out today. You and James, yes, it's the Virgo match.
Yeah.
We want to watch it.
I gotta.
Yeah.
They'll get
I
you back home.
Gain, like 80 pounds before I can take on that dude, Jesus.
Holla to the Virgos.
Yeah, I'll try my best to whip his ass. Gonna start eating peanut butter sandwiches.
Bulk up, protein.
Well, it was lovely to talk to you, lady.
Good night, Corey.
And, good luck in all your future stuff. Sorry, guys, that I can't stay, but I gotta be off early.
That's cool. You go do your job.
Right.
Tire changing actually requires a lot of concentration. It's retarded.
It's not
really
retarded, you mean. That's hard, Uncle.
Yeah,
I love you.
Hard.
Good night.
Good night.
Have
guys.
A good night.
Thank you.
All right, peace out, Corey.
Bye.
I do want to come back. I think we've got some good stuff to talk about tonight when it gets to delve into like what's socially acceptable and what's not, and how that relates to comedy and also the freedom of speech thing. But I think we should take a break and play a little stuff and then come back and get to talking.
We'll be back.
This.
All right.
What? Rah.
If it sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So. We do, but we're getting better.
We are.
Do we?
All right, let's do this.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Let's do this. I'm going to start out. We're going to start out with this band that that Margaret turned me on to, the Red Light Cameras. And do you know these guys? How did you get turned on to them? They're from Albuquerque?
Red Light Cameras are flipping awesome. I have known the boys since we were kids, basically. And we all went to high school together and were friends then. And then they had a band back way back in the day called Evil Lived. And, you know, they were all right. And I was still their friend. So I was like, oh, I'll support you. And then they, like, switched over to be Red Light Cameras and got a new singer who's Amanda. And they're just like, now they're Red Light Cameras and they're flipping amazing. And they're my friends.
Well,
I went to Austin.
And awesome boys. Mary and I were both checking them out earlier, and I like that. I like the accompaniment of having the male singer behind her. I think that sounded really cool, and I know that was on one of the songs, but I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they're just really cool, and they play a lot around Albuquerque. You should definitely check them out sometime.
Yeah, well, we've got lots of friends in bands, and we always need, like, more bands to know each other, to do shows together and things. So it's always good to network and coordinate. Do they have stuff, like, on and do they have, like, a whole album out? I know you sent me two tracks. What else do they have
And I think both of the tracks that I sent you were off of their new album, and then they have a previous album before that. And so they have two albums. The new one that you got the tracks from, I don't think that's been released yet.
Oh, sweet. So these are like exclusives.
Yeah, awesome. So there's one album that's out, and the second album is coming, and it's just all of their stuff is just great, and they're really cool people and a great band.
That's fucking sweet. Well, I'm glad that you shared them with us. We're gonna play some of them right now, and we'll be back in what does it look like? Maybe 15 minutes about.
Sounds good.
All right, here we go.
Americans seem to think that the party's going to last forever and the holiday goes on and on. and they don't really see the error of certain things. I mean, Thomas Rainsford Lounsbury was an educator in the 19th century, and he said, "It never ceases to surprise me at the infinite capacity of the human mind to resist the introduction of useful knowledge." And that's what it is. People know better. People sense better. But they go against it. They just think there are no consequences.
It kills me forever.
It's a steady downhill slide. You know, this country is really finished. I mean, it really is technically finished. It's just a matter of playing out the end game. Well, that's true. It's true. You can see it. You can smell it. Anyone who can't see it or smell it doesn't understand.
Yeah.
There's a medical term that they use in hospitals when a person has no future left on this planet. They can't be helped anymore. And they put it on the chart, CTD, circling the drain. And that's what we're doing. We're slowly circling the drain, and the circles get smaller, and they get faster. I enjoy it. Personally, I don't have a stake in the outcome.
Right.
I personally enjoy this circus that I've been invited to. I've often said when you're born in the world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. When you're born in America, you're given a front row seat, and I couldn't enjoy it more.
I'm talking about the fact that a war is old men protecting their property by sending young men, or rich old men protecting their property by sending middle class and lower class young men off to die. It always has been. It's all about owning things. All of this back and forth and debate implies that there are really choices in this country, that we really have choices, freedom of choice.
Well, it's an all-volunteer army.
Americans are made, and they're having trouble filling the slots in this all-volunteer army. I wonder why.
Well, raise the pay of the money.
Let me say one thing about choice. There is no real choice. They say freedom of choice. You're given an illusion of choice. Americans are meant to feel free by the exercise of meaningless choices. You don't have, you know what
right.
the choices are in this country? Paper or plastic, a file or window, smoking or non-smoking.
Yes.
Those are your real choices. You began a sentence a little while ago with it's not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise that rich white men don't care about poor black people, period. So they're not high on their list.
That is
not high on their list.
George,
I love
you, George.
They're not
that's
high.
Nonsense.
I don't care if you love me or not.
That's
they're
nonsense.
Not high on the conscious or the subconscious list of those people who are in charge of things in this country. The owners, forget these foolish elections, the owners of this country don't care about the poor in general.
The owners
of this
country,
care about
what are we going... is this Karl Marx talking to me? The owners of this country are
no.
the voters of this
no,
country.
You're wrong about that, my friend.
Aren't the owners of this country
wrong.
The voters in this country
no,
who
no,
elected
they're,
George
no, they're
Bush?
Not. Listen, politics, these elections are a charade. It is a charade.
Oh, okay.
It is. They are meant to... I'll tell you, listen, just listen for a minute. Learn a little something. The elections and politicians are in place in order to give Americans the illusion that they have freedom of choice. You don't really have choice in this country. I have an addendum to that. The real looting in this country takes place in the transfer of the wealth from the poor to the rich. I'm sorry that you don't like class and the truth, my friend, but you're just stuck with it. Class is bad. And the poor have been systematically looted in this country. The rich have been made richer under this criminal, fascist president and his government.
George, do you know what fascism is?
Fascism,
you know what fascism is?
America,
you know what Nazis
wear,
are?
Wear, no, wait,
yeah.
sir, wait,
you
sir. When fascism
are?
Comes
you know
to America, it will
are?
Not be in brown and black shirts. It will not be with jackboots. It will be Nike sneakers and smiley shirts. Smiley. The fascism... Germany lost the Second World War. Fascism won it. Believe
and actually,
me, my friend.
George, you think
is
that
you
looting
might,
is looting okay if there's no hurricane?
First of all, property.
Can you break
I
into
no, but,
tweeters
but
whenever you want.
We're talking
I have no problem with theft. May I be honest?
No
with
problem
you?
With
I have
that.
No problem with theft. True.
Well, George is defending looting, but
I have no. I have no stake in the outcome.
I think
you have to give him credit for one thing. You have to give him credit. They're out in the open
the
now. They're out in the open now. They're not even trying to conceal it anymore. The owners of the country got their election. They said, we're going to get this election. We put you people in that court for a reason.
All right,
now
back
the time
to earth
us.
For you
and
now.
Yeah, forget all that stupid.
They're out in the open. They're openly driving the bus, and we're all in the back.
Because of the energy policies that were created here in California, not as a result of a conspiracy, but because...
You don't need a formal conspiracy.
Right.
When interests converge, these people went to the same universities and fraternities. They're on the same boards of directors. They're in the same country clubs. They have like interests. They don't need to call a meeting. They know what's good for them, and they're getting it. And there used to be seven oil companies. There are now three. It will soon be two. The things that matter in this country have been reduced in choice. There are two political parties. There are a handful of insurance companies. There are about six or seven information things. But if you want a bagel, there are 23 flavors because you have the illusion. You have the illusion of choice.
Right.
You don't get the real important stuff. There's no freedom of choice.
Video is called 10 Things I Hate About Everyone. I did not come up with this list. I actually found it on an amazing website, so I'm not taking credit for making up these things, ideas, lists, things, whatever. I'm just reading them off and expressing them because I feel like everybody should know this. Numero uno. People who point at their watch asking for the time. Do you know what time it is? Do you know? I know where my watch is. Where the hell is yours? Do I point at my crotch when I want to know where the toilet is? No. Number two, people who are willing to get off their lazy butt and walk around the whole room searching for the remote because they're too lazy to go over to the TV and press the button to change the channel. You're going to walk around this whole room looking for a remote, but you can't sit up by the TV and press a button a few times? Number three, west side, east side. Monkeys. People who say, oh, you just want to have your cake and eat too, don't you? Yeah, I do. Why would I want a cake if I can't eat it? Number four, when people say, it's always the last place you look when you're looking for something. Of course it is. What would I keep looking for it after I found it? Do people do this? Where and who are they? Five. When people are in a movie theater, they're trying to watch the movie, they lean over to you and say, hey, did you see that? No, I didn't see it. I just paid $12 to sit here and not see the movie. Six. People who ask you, hey, can I ask you a question? Didn't give me a choice. There did you, sunshine. 7. When people say something is new and improved, which is it? If it's new, then there's never been anything like it before, so it can't be improved because it's new. If it's an improvement, then there's already been something like that before and you're improving it, so it can't be new. Number 8. When people say, life is short. No, it's really not. Life is the longest thing anybody does. What can you possibly do that's longer than life? Number 9. When you're waiting for the bus and some idiot walks up and says, hey, has the bus come yet? If the bus came, would I be standing here? Number 10. When people say, eyes ain't what they used to be. Oh, what did they used to be? Ears? Arms? Legs? Rubik's cubes? Those are just 10 things I hate about everyone. Again, I did not come up with this list. I found it and thought it was amazing and relevant. So I thought I'd share it with the world to maybe help some people realize.
I was an Eskimo. Frozen wind began to blow. Under my boots and around my toes. Frost that bit the ground below. Turned around and I said, oh.
huskies go, and don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the huskies go, and don't you eat that yellow snow.
All right, we're back. Acrobat Underground Radio, episode 27. Some Frank Zappa. I threw some George Carlin in there, too. That's right. Because I think George Carlin's like an excellent example of a comedian that took his ability to flaunt the freedom of speech and use it to try to educate people on things. And when he first died, I wanted to jump to the whole conspiracy theory thing. Oh, they finally shut him up, you know. And I got to actually see George Carlin in Las Vegas not too long before he died. It was the very last like live HBO special that he did. It was about 2 to 3 weeks before that he did. I was in his test audience that he went and did that show, and I was really stoked to get to see him before he died, because he's always been one of my favorite performers.
That's pretty cool, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That is pretty cool.
I had a pretty cool book by George Carlin. I ended up giving it to Mr. Nick Fury.
Why?
When Will Jesus Bring the Pork Chops? Was that him? That was him, right?
I think so. I think that was, yeah. The book I had was The Napalm and Silly Putty, though.
Okay.
But see, he's been out doing comedy since I was a kid. I don't know when he started.
I remember watching like HBO specials with him on, like with my step grandfather, and he was like,
yeah,
one of my step grandfather's favorite comedians.
Well, he was just always there. He was always there as long as I can remember. You know, George Carlin has been doing comedy.
And
he's intelligent.
Generally,
you know,
a lot of comedians don't last that long.
No, yeah, it's hard to stay out there and not morph into something different, you know. And he did kind of morph, though, because he did get a little more activist-y, and he tried to educate people. But that's what you should do if you have a platform and you have people to listen to. You should try to, you know, share things with them that is a benefit to everyone, you know. Make people think,
yeah,
make people intelligent.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, like, I don't know, coming from a place where you kind of like, a lot of times people go there to see comedy. And so if you have something to say and you can make it funny, that's an excellent time to like just try and teach people things. I don't personally do that because I just don't know what to teach people yet. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it. No, and it brings up a point. Because I wonder about like the hardwiring of the subconscious, just by going by, you know, by announcing somebody before they come out on stage, this is a comedian. You've already established that, and just the word, the power of the word, hardwires your mind, your subconscious, in the literal way it takes things to not take anything seriously. You're going to go in, and this person is here to amuse you, and everything that comes out of their mouth is not of mass import. And I think that's part of why you see freedom of speech extended to comedians more so than other people who have an audience, is because they're not supposed to be taken seriously. And even like looking back at the Dixie Chicks, who was a mediocre country band, they said something not too good about our current president, and it basically ended their career. It's like freedom of speech is an illusion, you know, and part of the way that they maintain the illusion is, you know, letting comedians say whatever they want while not being taken seriously, you know.
You just kind of, like, sneak that activism in there. Just like, surprise.
Right.
Surprise,
you know,
learn something.
I have opinions.
Yeah, right. And George Carlin was great about doing that, because he would take all these serious points, you know, and he would make it funny. He had this cynical way of looking at things that was great. He could show you this, how horrible and disgusting and horrendously funny it is, you know.
Yeah, I think it's easier to kind of bring to light the things that are serious when you try and see them in a funny light.
Exactly.
Like, the things people don't want to talk about, when you try and figure out a way to make them funny, that's
it's easier.
When you can, like, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. But what
it's
is,
like
say, so, it's like what, Mare?
It's like buffing it, you know? Like, oh, we're going to make it funny, but you're going to learn something. It'll piss you off, but then it's hilarious because we're all that fucking stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my mom always, like, told me as I was growing up that one of my tactics that I would use on her, like, whenever she was upset about something, I would find a way to make her laugh about it, you know, and then she couldn't be mad at me anymore after I made it funny, you know.
I'm pretty sure my son does the exact same thing to me.
Yeah. They're smart. Those kids are smart. They really are.
They really are.
Oh, my gosh. They're, like, so, like, just naturally just manipulative and know how to loopholes. It really, I think it's ingrained. It's embedded. It's bred in. I don't know. And I always feel like I get paid for my raising. Oh, my gosh. It's
yeah.
definitely going to happen. I'm about to have a house full of teenagers. It's scary. It's really scary, guys.
Yeah, Mary's got three girls and one boy, and ranging between 4 and 13.
Yeah, 4 and 13.
Oh,
four
my gosh.
13.
Yeah, you're going to
have my
fun.
House full, for sure. Yeah, fun, right? And I thought,
you're
oh, well, you know,
fun.
I'll have them all close so they can play together. And then I was like, wait a minute. I had three kids in 4 years. They're all going to be teenagers
right.
in my house together. Oh, my gosh.
And then when they're not fighting each other, they're going to gang up on you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's just how kids work.
Yes, it is. Like
right.
I said, they're kind of naturally, it's just a natural instinct to learn to manipulate and, like, you know, loopholes and, yeah.
Yeah, I just have one.
And I have
and
three
like,
gingers, all right? I have three gingers.
Oh,
yeah. And
I love gingers.
Yeah. Your gingers don't
Me
have
too.
Souls, so they're totally going to take it hard on you. Bunch of soulless gingers.
Oh, my gosh. I need to move out in the middle of nowhere in a commune somewhere soon. I mean, this is what I'm trying to manifest. I want to be off the grid in a fucking commune.
No, yeah,
ship.
I've been planning that for a while. I've been planning the commune off the grid
yeah,
for a while
Yeah, we need to get
now.
Together and make this happen because there's enough people who have been planning it and thinking it. We finally all just need to get together and fucking make it happen.
My
That's
commune
a great
is,
idea.
And my commune has to be set in Washington. That's the
okay.
plan.
Oh, see,
the plan is
Washington
communism
is,
in Washington.
My sister was
yeah,
in
Washington.
A yeah, my sister was in a big compound in Oregon and with a bunch of her friends and they all put their money and food stamps and everything together and grow food and weed and have a blast. And
you can buy seeds of food stamps, just so you know. You can buy seeds of food
right.
stamps. Buy
you can
organic,
buy seeds
okay?
Of food
not the genetically
stamps.
Modified.
You can?
Buy something. Yes,
you
can.
Can.
That is
and plants
awesome.
Too. And plants, too. Like,
but it's hard. There are
defined.
And go and look and see how hard it is to find seeds that don't already have the GMOs in them. I mean, go look at the seeds that they offer
yeah.
you at Walmart or Home Depot or any of your gardening stores. I mean, it's like
they're
crap.
You can save your seeds as well. Like, you can save your seeds as well. Like, if you get an organic butternut squash or you get an organic, like, you know, tomato or something like that, you can, like, save
right.
your seeds and dry
save
them out
them,
and plant
dry them. And yeah,
and if
and
they don't
grow,
you know you're not eating organic shit, and it's a fucking all. It's a huge conspiracy, and we're all idiots, and we're all puppets. It doesn't matter what you fucking believe. They already got like all these angles lined out, and they have all our merchandise for all of us, and we're still consuming. That's what it
well,
is.
I mean, they're even selling GMOs in like freaking Whole Foods and like all of the stores that are supposed to be selling you the healthy organic stuff. They have GMOs too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
And
because
it's really, really kind of sad.
I don't even know if they can really test for it because so-and-so, Farmer John, who's had a farm in the family for, like, you know, three generations, and next thing you know, a freaking Monsanto, like, base company, like, plants a field next to his growing the same thing. Seeds blow into his crops. They take
mm-hmm.
over. Next thing you know, he's growing genetically modified shit, even though he can say it's certified organic. It doesn't really mean it is. There's no really way to, like, you know, you can kind of tell the difference, but... When you're producing,
it's so easy
and all that.
When you know when those people are coming. It is so easy to just put everything in a little closet and it's especially on the farms. And you talk like I talk to these people who come through the hostel that are doing the woofing and whatnot and so many of these organic farms that they're working at are totally not organic and they're using the GMOs and they just put the shit away when they know the testers or the people are coming out to go look around and it's really mostly a cursory glance. You know, they're not actively, it's more here, we're going to do this to placate the people, and we're not really going to take it seriously.
That's ridiculous.
You know, there's another march coming up in October. It's the World Food Day, and they're doing another march against Monsanto. And I'm hoping I really haven't seen it pimped out as much as I see in the original march, but there's so many more people now who are aware of it. Like, I think the numbers will be bigger, but we just have to, like, freaking pimp it out.
Well, it's amazing how many people don't know what GMOs are, because I'm in a nutrition class right now, and we got on, like, yesterday we got on the subject of GMOs, and, like, two or three people in my class were like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, what is that?
Right.
People
really
no, it's
don't
not a super
know.
Food. It's a super mutant. It's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Don't
people
eat that.
Really don't know. Like, no, you're eating these every day. You think you're eating really healthy, but this is what you are being given.
Yeah.
And when you walk away from watching an episode of the news, you have, like, this very light understanding of what they just told you. Everything's so quick, so pointed,
dramatic.
So targeted.
Even the music
yeah,
is all dramatic.
Like,
and so it impacts you in a
yeah.
different way. And it's all bad.
I just watched the news. I just found out what's going on. But none of it educated you on what any of it meant, you know?
Yeah. No, I haven't watched the news. Like, I watch the news sometimes, but I haven't watched it in a while. It's just, I don't know, it's just all bad. It's all bad.
I just stopped watching it. One day, like, I just found myself crying. I was like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm not watching this ever
yeah.
again. And then I was at the bus station waiting for my mom to come up, like, last week. And it was during it's still happening, the Syria thing. And Obama was on, he was talking about it. And everybody was, like, you know, in the bus station waiting for their buses and stuff. And he was up talking about, you know, this Syria thing. And, like, I just was like, oh, my gosh, I really don't want to fucking watch this. But then there was something. And then I just broke out in song, and I started singing really loud. We don't need no more trouble, no more trouble, no more trouble. And I was like, what is it good for? And I couldn't help it, because it was like, oh, I felt the move. And I had to, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, sometimes that's
and
what you just have to do. You just have to make yourself feel better by singing and drowning out all of the other things. Yeah, I probably mostly get...
Right in the middle of the fucking bus station. Sorry, go for it.
I was at the Greyhound bus station, bus mountain.
Sorry, I'm just trying to picture this.
It truly had not. You said you were at the bus station.
I can picture it. You know, I'm picturing it like in like the old grainy cinematography. You know, here you are in the bus station, and the news broadcast is on, and it's talking about the war that's coming, and you just get up and start saying, Yeah.
Absolutely, positively nothing. We don't need. Yeah, I just started singing really loudly. And I did for a minute, and then I walked out because I couldn't be in there anymore. It was just too fucking weird.
Yeah, fuck the news. It's crazy.
Fuck
it's ridiculous.
News.
I mean, fuck the news. All of it.
Fuck your couch, Ben.
Fuck your couch.
Fuck your couch, Ben.
I was over at Ben's earlier today, and his futon, like, there's, like, one, it's sectioned off, so there's three squares, you know, that are, like, for their rump. And the middle one is, like, so caved in, it's uncomfortable to, like, sit on. And so I kept on trying to, like, move around and stuff. And, like, my sister and I had left, and we went to eat at Thai House, which is, like, Buena Vista and Central. And we parked the car, and we were, like, walking, like, from the alley, and there was a couch that was sitting there, and it said, fuck your couch.
Yeah, like, written in spray paint on the back.
I sent Ben the picture, fuck your couch.
Fuck your couch.
Fuck your couch.
Fuck my couch. I got this couch from James, from Faithless James, who's going to fight Corey.
Sounds like Corey doesn't want to fight. He's going to fight Corey. You guys are
going to
fight.
James is imposing. He's a big dude. He looks like Superman. He's all chiseled. I mean, would you really want to fight James either?
He's dreamy. He's dreamy.
He knows that, though. Is this just my house, or is it raining hard?
It is raining. I have clothes on the line from yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's been raining. It hasn't dried enough for me to take them off, but they're going to be, like, all nice Mother Nature-y freaking
fresh and clean from rain.
Although I don't think it's really that clean of a rain.
I've got the
windows. Which is okay. I'm going to have to rewash it, but I'm not doing it today.
I've got the shades open, and I'm watching the rain fall over the city. And you may, and it's not a clean rain. And I can tell you that. I was born in Seattle. I spent a lot of my time growing up in the rainforests of Oregon, and I love the rain, and it draws me outside. It's compelling and it's cleansing. And even like, what was it, 2 days ago when it started raining? It rained all day, and I had no pull, no drive to go outside. It's like all of those chemtrails and shit that they've been spewing out, now it's coming down in the water, and it's like, this rain isn't good. I don't feel compelled to go out and let it fall on me. It's weird. I know I'm weird, but I go off my instinct and my gut a lot.
Weird,
and what?
Ben, Google that. What's the definition of weird?
Different than what you're used to, abnormal. Normal is
what
you're used to.
But we're talking about what they're telling us we're supposed to be used to. So being weird is good.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. So I've learned over the years to trust my how I feel on the inside. I think that's your holy trinity. You've got your conscious, your subconscious, and then your gut instinct, and that they all work together. Synchronicity, and my gut instinct did not pull me out into the rain this time. So there's something wrong with it.
It is.
I like to watch it. I am watching it. It's pretty awesome. I just really like to, like, if I could live somewhere where the weather we've had the last few days is the weather constantly, I would. And I think that's why I want to go to Washington.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you're on it.
Yeah, Oregon and Washington is what you're looking for there. The rainforests start in Northern California and they go all the way up into Alaska. But I personally think Oregon's the best thing that America has to offer. I've spent a lot of time in Oregon and Washington. That's just me. It's that's my home, you know.
Ultimately, it's going to come down to, like, yeah, when I finish school, just seeing, like, where I can get a job when I'm done with school and what pays best. And so,
what are you going to school for?
Oh, my goodness, nursing.
Nursing.
Nice. Nursing, yeah.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in the hospital, like, the last, like, week. This last week I've been in the hospital a lot, like, visiting my mom and stuff. And that would be an interesting – I could see, like, going in there and volunteering and, like, bringing light to people. But having to mm-hmm. work in that atmosphere all the time, I don't think that I'm not cut out for that.
I do really well in, like, a really high pace, like, under pressure sort of environment. So if it's like there's a lot of pressure and you just have to get things done, I do pretty well. And so that's why I want to go into nursing. And, like, as far as trying to decide between Oregon and Washington, I think eventually I'll probably, after I become a nurse, try and go back to school to be a midwife or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And so that's a good area to be in for that.
It is.
See, I'm a home birther.
For sure.
So, like, midwifery and all that has really, like, resonated with me. And I've always, like, but I want to wait until my kids are older because you are on call 24 hours a day.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Mine's 7 now, so it'll be a while. And that's why, be a nurse in the meantime, maybe a doula.
Yeah, I do love
Mary had all four of her kids at home.
All four? That is amazing.
Yeah, all
that
four of them
awesome.
At home. Dude, like, I told the lady today at the hospital, she's like, oh my God, at home? I was like, it's natural. It's like taking a shit.
People didn't
do
what your body
do what
your like,
body's supposed to do. It is like taking a big motherfucking shit, and it hurts. It hurts.
A really painful one.
It changes you chemically, so you can be a mother and put up with her crazy shit. You're supposed to go through that fucking pain because it rewires your brain in a way. And I really think that that's like what's missing a lot now is so many women are processed into this factory of a hospital and giving cesarean sections and giving all these drugs and stuff, and they don't get that conditioning that you get from giving birth and feeling the pain that conditions you to be a mother.
I mean, people just feel like, oh, the pain is so inconvenient and I don't want to do that. But no, really, like, people have been doing it for so long, you think that it's not totally normal and that you're not supposed to go through that. I don't know. I think that I have done studies linking postpartum depression with cesarean
yeah.
and, like, you know,
yeah.
all of the...
And there are cesareans that are necessary, but there are so many
totally.
Unnecessary cesareans that, like, it is. It's a fucking pandemic, all right?
yeah,
fucking
it's ridiculous.
People have
my sister, I was there, and they, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
People have developed this tendency to shy away from pain and try to go the easy route. And the truth is, it's like you want to embrace the pain, embrace the challenges. You get just, I mean, all the meaning of life is to live and experience things, and you grow. You it adds to your knowledge base. You get all of your benefits come from going through these experiences, and the pain is one of the best. The negative experiences in your life shape you and give you more strength of character. You know, it's you shouldn't shy away from those things. You shouldn't.
And I also like going through birth and like the different types of births that I've had, I really believe that it's prepared me for life too, because shit does get really hard and you are in transition and it does seem like, you know, but it really, life is like the birthing process.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty
cycle.
Much. Because once you like, you get through this hard part and you're like, ah, it's over. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, there's still more. Like, I can't sleep
yeah.
anymore. You know, it just,
yeah.
it keeps going.
It gets all right. It gets all right. And then, like, you know, they start
yeah.
walking and talking.
And then at some point, you're kind of just really attached to it.
Yeah.
And so you just, you know, you just keep going because you kind of like it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel
yeah.
about my son. I'm like, oh, I kind of like him. I want to keep him around for a while.
Yeah.
At least the next, you know,
11
years.
They're fun. They're kind of like, you see yourself in them, too. Like, in each one of my kids, I see myself differently in their personality or even, like, in the way that they look. And it's fun. And
she's got one that looks like me.
Because I'm an interesting person to, like, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
No.
And teenagers.
My
too.
Son's definitely a weirdo. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
No, and yeah, you do. You see yourself in them. And not just because he looks just like me, but because I'm like, wow, that thing you said, I probably also would have said that.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, things are mannerisms.
Yeah. I'm like, don't tell me how to live my life. And he's like, don't tell me how to live my life. I'm like, okay. We'll just work through this.
How old is he?
He's 7.
7.
7 years old.
Mine's 11. My son, the only boy, he's 11. And
the one.
A house full of women all the time. Yeah. The boy. Oh.
That
he's
poor
funny.
Guy.
He's on this kick where he thinks he's learning how to speak Spanish because a lot of the kids in the school speak Spanish.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Dude, he can roll his R's like no other. And he can,
see,
oh,
and
my
I
gosh.
Still can't do
it
that.
Sounds so real.
I can't
dude,
roll my
I'm
R's.
Like, I'm like,
yeah.
son,
how
that's
do you
like
say
the Mexican
pork?
You, because I'm half Mexican. But he wouldn't look Mexican. He's like, you know, this little white boy with bright green eyes and flaming red hair. You know, he didn't look like he would, like, roll his R's that well. But, man, it's like, I was like, dang, dude.
Yeah, sure. I'm really brown, and I still can't roll my R's for shit.
No.
I have to remind people, I'm like, I look really brown, but I'm from Ohio. Like, I can't.
Yeah. They didn't teach me how to do that in the Northwest. It's
no,
either.
They didn't. I didn't learn that. That wasn't a normal thing. Like, try going to summer camp and being the darkest person there. And, like, it doesn't work.
Yeah. All right, let's take another break and come back in a bit.
Awesome.
All right.
What do you think?
Smoke break.
Smoke break,
back.
Yeah. I'm going to go. This tonight's show is brought to you by Wild Cherry Pepsi and marijuana.
This show
and
is brought to you by Blue Moon Harvest freaking pumpkin spice L.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm drinking a freaking pumpkin.
What
spice.
How is it?
It's almost Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful.
Okay.
We're thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that my roommate stocked up on beer before they left.
Nice.
That's awesome. Good for them. Okay, big ups to Margaret's roommates for stocking up on beer before the show.
Thanks, roommates.
Fucking, yeah, wicked awesome. All right, Mary, let's start. I'm going to play a song from your band.
Nice, BNN.
BNN, Band With No Name. We were over there tonight
we're gonna
be on
at
band
tomorrow
practice.
Night. Yeah,
get that shit out.
And then, yeah, tomorrow night, KNME Street Beat, 11 p.m. BNN will be on for, I believe, an hour. It would be really great, yeah. And then freaking Nick and Epic are going to be rocking it with American Slang down at Sister on Saturday, and I'm definitely going to go to that. That's going to be fucking hopping. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love freaking American Slang, and the boys, when they get up and go with them, it's pretty awesome, too. So I'm definitely going to go there to support tomorrow night, too. And we have a car wash on the 28th at Vinny's Barbershop, and we're going to be doing a video shoot and performing, and there'll be other performers there, too.
Come
and
down
we're gonna be
to Vinny's Barbershop and get your car washed
cars.
And
we're really, really
be in a music video.
Cars.
We are. We've been doing this for a while now. I haven't worked at a car wash.
Ben even has professional experience in car washing.
Professional experience and some shit, dude. Come down and maybe we'll read some
and
poetry
Afro
ideas.
Man,
during
fucking
the...
Afro Man, we have tickets. We have tickets for Afro Man.
Oh, yeah. Get us up for
that damn bar.
Tickets.
October
3rd. It's Thursday night. It's Band with No Name, Mondo Vibrations, and Afro Man. And just get your ticket.
And it's a good vibe because, like, I love our sound. I love the people that we play with. It's just the community in Albuquerque with the music and the musicians and everyone. And it's just great. And I really love being a part of it. And so, yeah, you get us all together, and it's always a great time. And Afro Man's going to be fun because we got high.
Because we got high. You think? Yeah, I think we'll get high. All right. So this song is called "Everybody Wants to Be an MC." Do you have anything to say about it, Mary? Any cool stories from the writing?
Okay, you know, everybody does want to be an MC. Everybody wants to be a date. But why? What are you doing? What are you spitting when you're out there? When you're, like, we were talking about the platform, like, you are a comedian or whatever, and you can use it to learn, to teach, you know, as, like, a tool. Like, everybody wants to be. But for what? Maybe it's not for you because you don't have something that's beneficial. You listen to the fucking radio now. You turn it on and they're talking about, like, I'll pop that pussy, pop that, you know, freaking, like,
right.
Water gun and freaking, you know. I mean, all that shit. It's ridiculous. And the kids are, like, singing it, and they have no idea that it means that she's fucking fully squirting all over his face. And it's like, wow. What? To make money? To freaking do that shit and have the kids singing that stupid shit? Or to fucking teach? But for what? MC ain't for you, maybe. It's not. Maybe it's not.
That's right. Here we go. BNN.
Yes.
We'll be back in about 20 or so.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. We're excited about radio.
I'm excited about radio.
starting point when it comes to the consideration of any issue relating to free speech is my passionate belief that the second most precious thing in life is the right to express yourself freely. The most precious thing in life, I think, is food in your mouth. And the third most precious is a roof over your head. But a fixture for me in the number two slot is free expression, just below the need to sustain life itself. That is because I have enjoyed free expression in this country all my professional life and fully expect to continue to do so. Personally, I suspect highly unlikely to be arrested for whatever laws exist to contain free expression because of the undoubtedly privileged position that is afforded to those of a high public profile. So my concerns are less for myself and more for those more vulnerable because of their lower profile. Like the man arrested in Oxford for calling a police horse gay. Or the teenager arrested for calling the Church of Scientology a cult. Or the cafe owner arrested for displaying passages from the Bible on a TV screen. When I heard of some of these more ludicrous offences and charges, I remembered that I had been here before in a fictional context. I once did a show called Not the 9 o'clock News some years ago, and we did a sketch where Griff Rhys-Jones played Constable Savage, a manifestly racist police officer to whom I, as his station commander, is giving a dressing down for arresting a black man on a whole string of ridiculous, trumped up and ludicrous charges. The charges for which Constable Savage arrested Mr. Winston Kadogo of 55 Mercer Road were these: walking on the cracks in the pavement, walking in a loud shirt in a built-up area during the hours of dark, and one of my favorites, walking around all over the place. He was also arrested for urinating in a public convenience and looking at me in a funny way. Who would have thought that we would end up with a law that would allow life to imitate art so exactly? I read somewhere a defender of the status quo claiming that the fact that the gay horse case was dropped after the arrested man refused to pay the fine, and that the Scientology case was also dropped at some point during the court process, was proof that the law was working well, ignoring the fact that the only reason these cases were dropped was because of the publicity that they had attracted. The police sensed that ridicule was just around the corner and withdrew their actions. But what about the thousands of other cases that did not enjoy the oxygen of publicity, that weren't quite ludicrous enough to attract media attention? Even for those actions that were withdrawn, people were arrested, questioned, taken to court, and then released. You know, that isn't a law working properly. That is censoriousness of the most intimidating kind, guaranteed to have, as Lord Deer says, a chilling effect on free expression and free protest. Parliament's Joint Committee on Human Rights summarized, as you may know, this whole issue very well by saying, while arresting a protester for using threatening or abusive speech may, depending on the circumstances, be a proportionate response, we do not think that language or behaviour that is merely insulting should ever be criminalised in this way. The clear problem with the outlawing of insult is that too many things can be interpreted as such. Criticism is easily construed as insult by certain parties. Ridicule, easily construed as insult. Sarcasm, unfavourable comparison, merely stating an alternative point of view to the orthodoxy, can be interpreted as insult. And because so many things can be interpreted as insult, it is hardly surprising that so many things have been, as the examples I talked about earlier show. Although the law under discussion has been on the statute book for over 25 years, it is indicative of a culture that has taken hold of the programs of successive governments, that with the reasonable and well-intentioned ambition to contain obnoxious elements in society, has created a society of an extraordinarily authoritarian and controlling nature. That is what you might call the new intolerance, a new but intense desire to gag uncomfortable voices of dissent. I am not intolerant, say many people, say many softly spoken, highly educated, liberal-minded people. I'm only intolerant of intolerance. And people tend to nod sagely and say, oh, yes, wise words. And yet if you think about this supposedly inarguable statement for longer than 5 seconds, you realize that all it is advocating is the replacement of one kind of intolerance with another, which to me doesn't represent any kind of progress at all. Underlying prejudices, injustices, or resentments are not addressed by arresting people. They are addressed by the issues being aired, argued, and dealt with, preferably outside the legal process. For me, the best way to increase society's resistance to insulting or offensive speech is to allow a lot more of it. As with childhood diseases, you can better resist those germs to which you have been exposed. We need to build our immunity to taking offense so that we can deal with the issues that perfectly justified criticism can raise. Our priority should be to deal with the message, not the messenger. As President Obama said in an address to the United Nations only a month or so ago, laudable efforts to restrict speech can become a tool to silence critics or oppress minorities. The strongest weapon.
I'll kick your ass, bitch! Why, guys,
gray. Your palms are clammy. You can feel your face heat up in there. Memorize each step she takes. She walks your way the way you lose your head. You want her, you tell her so. Your finger crossed, she tells you no. Oh, oh, she tells you no. Oh, oh.
Another one by the red light cameras there, Margaret.
Yes.
I like them. Yeah. She's got a really cool voice.
No, you have to see them live. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they're playing next Thursday.
Let's hear it. I was just looking.
Yeah, it's
September 26th. Wait, that's not next Thursday. That's like two Thursdays.
No. Yeah, no, it's next Thursday. I need to figure out where it is. Yeah, it's right before my birthday, and so I know.
When's your birthday?
I was told I get to claim a whole week for myself, so I am going to. My birthday is on the 21st.
The 21st, nice. So you're right on the cusp.
Yeah, I'm just barely a Virgo. Hardly.
Yeah. hardly
a Virgo.
You're barely a Libra, too, though. So you're, like, right there.
Yeah.
Peter.
I'm right in there.
Yeah.
It could explain some things.
Probably. I don't know. You have to draw it out and calculate mathematics and all that shit, and no one do it right
nobody
now.
Nobody has time for that. Oh,
ain't
you know
nobody
what it
got
is?
Time for that.
Ain't nobody got time
ain't
for
nobody
that.
Ain't nobody got it.
You know
ain't nobody got time for that.
Playing at Sister Bar next Thursday. I'd like cameras at Sister Bar next Thursday with video games and some other people. Reviva.
Oh, the Reviva's awesome. Those are friends of ours. Yeah, you're going to love them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen them before. It's just all a blur, you know.
Yeah, they're great. Actually, Reviva's album, is it called Free? Or it's called Change, right? What's it called, Mary? What's the name of Reviva's album?
I believe it's called Change.
I think so, too, right? Well, shouldn't we know that? But it's like one of my favorite
albums.
Hold on, I rank, I rank it up there with like any big name band when I'm picking out music to take on a trip or whatever, or when I just pull something up on my computer to listen to. Like, honestly, I think their album is fantastic, and it's just like it's amazing that
Dude, my oven is possessed.
Yeah, my whole house is possessed,
shut
right?
Off.
Get in line. My light was going crazy earlier, swinging all around.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in this house for 2 weeks, and I'm a little disappointed at the lack of possession going on here.
Really?
I've hung out in my basement at length. I'm here by myself, and nothing.
It just fucking shut off by itself, dude. It fucking shut on, and then now... Like, I went to go get the freaking pliers, and it just shut the fuck off.
Right.
That's dangerous, okay?
Mary brings this shit with her wherever she goes. This place that I live in is 105 years old. I think it's got its own issues.
Where are you?
I'm walking in between Vells right now.
Margaret, I live in... do you know where the Route 66 hostel is on Central?
Dude, I'm pretty sure that I can possibly see that from my upstairs balcony.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you can see
the top of it, those two
roundish half moon windows at the very top, that's my apartment. And the blinds are open. I'm looking out, watching it rain over the town. Where are you at? Can I see
I am like, I don't know. Let's see. It's so weird. My house, like my kitchen, is upstairs.
Okay.
And so, like, my kitchen opens out onto, like, a balcony in the back.
Nice.
So it's just, like, where I eat my dinner sometimes. I'm, like, just north of Central.
Okay.
Yeah, just north of Central, Harris area, like, 9th and 10th-ish. I don't know.
All right. Well, then I should be able to see you.
I don't even have a light out here. I'm just, like, jumping on my balcony.
And does your balcony face south, so you're looking down towards the hospital?
Yeah. I can see a hotel from here.
Yeah.
And that tall place.
The tall place?
I don't know. Yeah.
And wave your phone.
Here, I'm going out on the roof. Ta-da-da-da.
I just waved my phone everywhere. I don't think it worked.
Right.
Not very bright.
No, me either. Here, I've got a flashlight on mine here. Let's go to ta-da-da. Flashlight.
Flashlight.
I
just can't find the thing.
Fucking
apparently
we
can't turn on the
flashlight
while I'm talking on the phone. Right.
I'm concerned about
my oven.
You guys are looking for each other, and I'm concerned about my oven because it just became possessed. And it
I
turned on, and then it turned off.
Meanwhile, we're trying to force code each other. Mary's house is burning
down. There's a prostitute in there. There's a
second
prostitute.
Because this happened last June. I don't know if many people are aware, but my house burned down last June. So, yeah, this would suck. I'm like, fuck.
That does suck. Sorry
about
that, Mary.
Kaylee,
I don't fucking
fire. No, it's going to
create
a
blue blinking light, too.
A blue blinking light?
Yeah, coming off the back of one of those houses, pointed light towards me. It's like through somebody's window or something. And then I can see, because there's like a little conglomeration of, do you see where the new AIDS housing is at? Are you like in that, back there behind those in one of those houses?
I don't know what the AIDS housing is. There's AIDS housing
there? Oh, that
here?
New stuff. Yeah, the new stuff, they just, that new whole new little complex they built right across the street from the laundromat. All those new things that just went up. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm a couple streets down from the laundromat. I don't know. There's a very bright light in the sky. I'm only assuming that it's a plane.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
It could be a star car.
You can see the hotel and the tall. No, that's like a. That's one of those like lights that they put in the parking lot at the at the used car lot to get your attention.
There's something wrong with my stove.
Ooh,
no, your house is possessed.
Yelling.
I don't know how you can see him, guys. Talk me down,
he's wearing
man.
A backpack.
Talk me down.
This one's like drunk and stumbling in the middle of the road with a backpack on and a beard.
Are they yelling
the other
at each
one
other?
No, that's just one of them, and I think he's kind of trying to dance. They're going into the parking lot. Oh, he just fell over the curb. Yeah, he's on all fours.
Yeah.
Now he's yelling and throwing shit. Yeah, he's yelling and throwing shit. He's pissed off that he fell down.
Oh, neighborhood.
I love living right down here. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah. I mean, I lived on the other side of downtown for a couple, like 3.5 years. On the other side of downtown, and that was all right, you know, except for the fact that, like, my car was broken into, or I had 3 broken windows in a year.
Nice. That's not
fun. So then
fun.
I decided to, no, not at all. It was expensive. And so then I had to move into this creaky old house, and it's pretty awesome.
See, I've lived in 4 places since I got to New Mexico, and they're all within 10 blocks of each other. I was right over on 14th and Lomas, and then 13th and Cole, and 7th and Fruit, and now 10th and Central. And this crackhead is, like, laying down on the fucking sidewalk right now. His friend finally came back to see what was wrong with him. He's, like, rolling, and he had some clothes that he was carrying, and he laid them down on the sidewalk. I think he got pissed off because he got them wet. Yeah.
No, I'm watching it unfold as well. A car just passed by them. Actually,
yes,
like it's
exactly.
Deep.
All right. Well, if you can see the hostel, then I'm standing on the roof in front of the 2 windows.
It's rather dark.
It is. So you probably can't see me.
I'm rather catty corner to those people.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell where the hostel is right now in all of the darkness.
Well, because there's the tattoo shop right across from where those kids, that crackhead's rocking in the parking lot, holding his knee.
Yeah, for sure.
And so if you're looking south at him, then I would be directly to their left. You see, there's the Four Vita tattoo shop, and then the tall yellow building with the 2 points on top and the windows.
See, I think there are trees in my way.
Yeah, and probably the Cafe Osaka restaurant, too.
Yeah. There are trees in my way.
I'm looking over the top of that tree, yeah. What are they doing now?
I don't know. I think it's a girl that's on the ground, or is it a guy?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. Now the other one's, like, holding the one on the ground by the head, by the hair.
Yeah, something's... Yeah.
Oh, I think he almost kicked him.
Are you guys watching a bum fight?
Kick him.
We might be watching
might turn
bum
it,
fights right now.
If
like
it does
now,
turn
if
into
you
a bum
help
fight,
him up?
They're hugging. Oh, we're going to get some bum sex in the parking lot? I think we're going to get some bum sex in the parking lot.
Bum sex. It's so romantic.
it sounds
totally.
Like it. Give me a play for play. What's happening? Right. A little play for play, guys. Come on.
Right, well, and now they're both standing up.
Okay, yeah, and the one in the red shirt's like she did, and she was like motioning towards her crotch, but now she's putting her backpack back on.
They have places to be right now.
They do. The important lives of the crackheads wandering the streets of Albuquerque.
Wandering the streets.
Yeah. Well, from where you're at, because like I'm up on the third level of this place, and it's taller than any of the buildings on either side of me. So I can look over and see like the Sandia. I can look that way and see the volcanoes. I got the whole skyline. I really think that right here, being downtown in the heart of like, because that Express Inn is where and the doghouse, you all know that from Breaking Bad. I mean, this is like meth central right here. And then we've got all the hookers that wander up and down the street. And I'm up protected because they can't even sit or throw things this high. Most people don't even look up here to see that I'm here. They just wander down below me, and I'm like yelling things at them. And then they're looking around in the trees. And it's like, I'm up here, you fucking dumb shit.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Is it socially acceptable to throw balloons full of dookie at crackheads wandering the street down below? Is that
maybe
socially acceptable?
Why do you have to go to that fecal fucking point? You could just like throw Jello or like whipped cream or water. Why does it have to have
water? Maybe some food, some rice. I'm sure they're low on protein.
But not dookie balloons.
Maybe not dookie balloons. Like maybe some organic fruits and vegetable balloons.
Maybe some compost.
Right.
We can throw compost on them.
Okay, yeah. Let's throw compost and Bibles at the bums out there.
Oh no, don't throw them Bibles. That's not gonna help them unless they want to start a fire.
Hey. Okay, I just went back inside and there's a call holding. Let's bring them on and see who this is. 666 area code. 661 area code. Who's this?
Hey, it's Crystal.
Hey.
Hi. I'm just calling because I don't appreciate you guys talking about my bum boyfriend out on the street. and you said he would probably want some rice for protein, but I don't think rice has protein.
It doesn't. I know. I was wrong.
I know. I was totally wrong.
Right. It happens.
I'm about 6 PBRs in. Forgive me.
What's your boyfriend's name?
Crackhead. When I'm
mad
at him.
Crackhead, of course.
Oh, with an
right.
I? That's with an I, bitch.
I call him fuckstick.
So what attracted you?
That's what
did you guys
he's good
meet?
For.
Where'd you guys meet?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Story.
Where did you meet your
story?
Crackhead boyfriend?
Where did you
Come
meet
on.
Your crackhead boyfriend?
Well, at a soup kitchen, of course.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did
so,
he just,
I,
like,
I was
shine?
Working, though.
You're working at the soup kitchen, and he stumbles in. He's, like, a handsome, very handsome crackhead, I'm guessing.
Right.
And
he's
like,
really
there,
dapper. When he
right.
came
did
back
your eyes
for second.
Connect from across the room? Ooh.
He came back for seconds, and so, you know, that's how it all started. So
it sounds really romantic. Yeah. I
it
think
started,
that you guys are made to last.
No, I think you should write this down because you've got one of the hardest things to get is an epic first line to any story, and it started with seconds is a fantastic one.
I have
yes.
seconds, ma'am. Was it the way his tooth was drained?
Please, ma'am, may I have
caught
some
you?
More?
I don't know. I was just, you know, I don't appreciate that girl down there, whoever he's with. So you guys can take her from me.
All right.
Well, I mean, just so you know, if you need to do anything, they're probably at about 8th by now.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I
the ratio
so.
Was going. Maybe they're at 9th. Who knows?
Probably.
You could probably catch up with them.
I don't know.
Maybe
where are you calling from,
up?
Crystal?
Vegas.
You're in Vegas.
Oh, that's far. That's far.
Yeah, so you're not going to get, they're going to have their bum sex before you get over there.
Yeah, that's just something I'm not comfortable with interrupting.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's an awkward moment.
Like, see, the bum check probably comes so rarely that they just really have to. You don't want to ruin that moment. It's a beautiful thing.
No,
no, you know, I think it.
Clearly,
I think it comes
clearly
pretty
you haven't been to the soup kitchen.
Right. Yeah. The people get action all
yeah.
the time.
Right.
And
yeah.
even our buddy, the famous Greg Swartzen, was delivering pizzas to someone recently and came across bums having bum sex in the stairwell. And he had to, like, wait for them to stop and pull and stand up and put their pants back on before to squeeze out of the way so he could, like, get up there and deliver the pizza. You know, and they seemed like offended,
kind of
too, that he was
What kind of bum sex was this? Was it, like, you know,
should we call him?
Between two different genders? Or
we should.
No,
we need to.
Or
yeah.
was it? What was it?
We need
to. I just
want to
know what kind of pizza it was.
Yeah, we need to talk to Greg. Call Greg.
Should we call Greg? Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, we
right,
should call Greg.
Let's get our little handy dandy thing that lets us call people from the show. Dun, 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 and find Swartzen's number. It's you guys are familiar with Greg Swartzen. He's a famous guitarist.
He's a guitarist, yes. G.R. Swartzen.
Yeah.
He also is in my band, BNN, and he also is playing with Element 37. And he does. You can find him sometimes, like, on a street corner, just jamming out. Like, he's an amazing guitarist. He really is. And he's young, and he's amazing.
And
it's
he's
really a pleasure, like
he's,
having him in the band and being able to perform with him.
He's Nick Swartzen's cousin, too.
Yeah, he is. Can we get leave a message?
Yeah.
All right, I got to come up
with it.
He's not going to answer.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to talk about bum sex.
We'll tell him to call us back and tell us about
with
bum
a
sex.
Little,
he's only got 15.
Little bum and grind. We're going to sing I Don't See Nothing Wrong with a Little Bum and Grind. Okay.
Yes.
Bum and grind?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yes.
So let's all, like, chime in.
Right.
You know that song.
Okay.
R. Kelly. Okay, we got it. Okay.
Does he not have voicemail?
Hold on, it's coming.
You have reached the voicemail box of 505-604-3512.
Okay. Remember, on the count of three, I don't see nothing wrong. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bum and grind. Bum and grind, bum and grind.
Bum and grind.
We're calling about your experience you had the other day while you were delivering pizzas. And you encountered some bums having sex, and we were just curious about your, like, story, and we were wanting to hear, like, your version of it, because you were there. You had the emotions. What was it like when you walked up
What kind of bum sex was it? Were they, was it doggy-style bum sex? Was it heterosexual bum sex?
Was it transgender, or was it
fun sex?
Gender-appropriate
was
or not-appropriate, or was it, like...
Asian woman with a raincoat and
I'm just curious.
Spatula and some oven mitts.
Was there a shopping cart involved?
Was there a lube?
No.
Yeah. Were they using the shopping cart for, like, a swing? Was there some?
Was
there somebody tied up?
Bum ears as lubrication?
Did they have baby wipes at least?
Oh, probably not. We need to
know.
But
yeah,
Greg,
give us a call back.
So please call us back.
805-856. 2808-805-856-2808. Give us a call, famous Greg Swartzen. All right.
Love you, Gregory.
Thank
you.
Beep. Hang up on his
ass. Should we call somebody else?
Don't tell Swartzen.
Here, I'm going to try. I'm going to. Because I got my little dialer thing up. I like this. Maybe. You might have got on there.
Don't tell Swartzen. Did he get on there?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I
have dude, how much longer do we have in the show? Are we almost at the after party? Are we playing some music? What's going on, Ben? We were going to talk
about 10 more.
What is appropriate in humor? What is socially acceptable in humor?
Everything.
Everything is socially acceptable.
Well, no, for the most part, everything.
It's
really hard to come up with.
Things happen all the time that, like, you're a dick if you laugh about it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
when somebody sticks their hand in the fucking blender and cuts their fingers off because there's not a label and you laugh at them for it, you're not supposed to. There's, like, little things where people injure themselves or things like that. I mean, but the truth of it is, shouldn't you go off your gut reaction? If something happens that makes you want to laugh.
Well, it's morally, like, I don't know, because there's, like, this morally thing. And what is moral?
If it's put out there in the correct way, like, if they come across and they just say something about something that most people think is not appropriate, but the way they say it is funny, then
yeah.
It's all fun and games. I was just, like,
so
having a conversation.
Has a lot to do
today.
With it.
And present, it's all about the presentation. I was having a conversation
yeah.
at work today about that Chinese lady that flushed her baby down the toilet a few months ago, right? Did you
okay.
guys hear about that? It's
yeah,
the
no.
Day to
was it
a, no, I,
but, yeah.
I heard about you.
She was in the pipe and
yeah.
found alive baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm not
and
sure
it was, yeah, her baby was fine and it was alive. And so I was, like, talking about it with my coworkers and I couldn't stop laughing. And I
just
thought that would be seen as inappropriate because I'm laughing. I'm like, yeah, this woman totally flushed her baby down the toilet. And then I had to pause to take a breath and then, like, remember to tell everyone, oh, yeah, the baby was fine. Don't worry.
Right.
Like, the baby lived. This is why I can laugh so much. Because she flushed
oh,
her baby down the toilet. Yeah,
well,
I was
but
like, no, it's
crazy,
guys.
But that brings up a
okay,
point.
Okay.
So if the baby had died, would it not have been okay?
That's story right there.
The mother was just trying to send the baby to the Ministry of Magic is what it was. And so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was really funny. Yeah, you just flush yourself
my
down.
Baby,
and, like,
send them to
and I'm sending it to the Ministry of Magic, and it's okay.
She
right.
said it was an accident, and she was going to call it in. And so she didn't get in trouble, though, because she was about to call it in.
Yeah, that's what she said.
It was a girl
well,
baby,
course,
right?
That's what she
said. I think it was probably a girl baby. I mean,
no,
you know,
no, it was actually a boy.
It was a boy baby?
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Because you hear about Chinese people trying
rare.
To get rid of the girl babies, you know, because they can only have so many and they want boys to carry on the family
right.
name, whatever. But so, yeah. But usually they drop them off at a hospital, you know, not just flush them.
Or a dumpster, like your local neighborhood dumpster. Is usually, like,
right.
a good place to dispose of your... newborn
baby.
Oh,
McDonald's and they're buckled in so they don't roll off. You know, I mean, come on.
Dude,
well,
yeah.
Again, if you give a
like,
shit, don't
well
fucking leave them in
the dumpster
yeah.
on the top so that at least
buckle them
breathe.
Into the McDonald's changing table.
Yeah,
if you put them
it.
In the,
like,
in the McDonald's dumpster, they're gonna. I mean, because they throw a lot of food away at night, and that's actually a really considerate place to leave a baby.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Though?
Actually, like I could see the beginning of another bum love story. Like, I'm searching through for food at the McDonald's dumpster, and I found this baby,
room.
And exactly, and then it
and
all goes
right.
downhill from there.
And that is how the phone found the meaning to its life, is they found a Chinese baby
right.
in the McDonald's it's, dumpster.
Right?
This baby
is
my,
it's time
to be meant
to be is my true love. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's a happy story.
I love you guys.
Right. That's what you call enough filthy.
Sweet little baby quarter pounder. What?
Yeah, right. So
McNugget. Oh, a little McNugget.
Would you like to supersize that for $1.50 more?
Supersize it. Oh, shit.
You know
it's
your kid's
going
to grow up to be a
with
stripper
with
a name
calling.
So
calling.
Hello, you have reached the sex addiction intervention line. If you are a chronic masturbator, please lock your door and press 1. For an entirely different experience, switch to your non-dominant hand and press 2. It's called The Stranger. If you are addicted to internet pornography, press 3. It's free, but your phone might start running slowly and the keys may start sticking. If you are confused by the clitoris, close your eyes and use one finger to blindly locate the 4 key. Find the very tip of the corner and massage it in a circular motion. Slowly, then faster, then gently, then harder, then just give up. To discover the secret location of the elusive G-spot, press the invisible magic button located between the number 5 and number 6 keys. Keep your eyes closed and don't cheat, especially with my sister, who is a dirty, dirty tramp. If one-night stands are your thing, it doesn't matter which button you press or how well you perform while pressing this button, because you will never see or press this button again, unless you get this button pregnant. And if anal sex is your thing, please turn around, bend over, and press pound. Pound, pound, pound. And finally, if you have difficulty distinguishing a real orgasm from a fake one, press zero. Oh, oh, oh. That was amazing.
HumorHotline.com.
I'm sorry, but there appears to be a problem in reaching this number. Thank you. Goodbye.
Pound. Pound.
Pound.
Oh.
Pound.
What up?
What up?
Hey.
Hey,
we're curious about this bum sex while you're delivering
pizza.
What kind of pizza
was it?
Please
it was horrible. No, it
was
the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life.
Was there a shopping cart there?
No, there was not, actually. It was a fat girl and kind of like a retarded-looking Mexican man. His eyes were like...
Fantastic.
But were they having pleasure? Were they aroused? Were they,
sure.
Were they fulfilling some pleasure?
What was that?
Did you interrupt someone's orgasm?
I don't know
right.
if I interrupted their orgasms, but they were going at
how
it pretty
irritated.
Good. No pants,
yeah.
Like, underneath their ass. It was just bare on the concrete, and she was riding him with no pants around her one ankle or anything. Like, they didn't give a fuck.
Concrete
right.
burns.
Fuck yeah,
yeah,
that's
it
the way
was
they
very
happen.
Awkward.
That
I was
takes
like,
some dedication.
They didn't give a fuck.
I was like, did you guys order a pizza? They were like, no. And then they looked at me like I was interrupting them, and I was like, I need to get
like
by.
You're working up a hunger.
You were interrupting them.
Working up a
well,
hunger.
I know I was, but I had to get by them. And I
Back
was like, I'm not
the beginning
walk
of,
by
of such a weird fucking porno, Greg. The pizza guy
was
walking up
gnarly.
A hunger.
It was gnarly. It was like 11:30 in the middle of the afternoon.
I got
you. Hey, you guys
right
ordered
here.
The extra
delivery.
Sausage, right? They might have put
sausage.
It sounds like a fantastic time.
Yeah,
I hope
actually kind of horrible.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah, it gave me kind of a sick feeling to my stomach.
It gave you a
and
stiffy.
I was like,
it
oh
you
man,
stiffy.
The shopping carts are rocking.
The poor girl, that ordered the pizza that lived like 5 steps away from where they were doing it, didn't even know that shit was going on.
Did you mention
it? Happened. Okay, it happened.
Yeah, I told her. I was like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but there was like 2 bums getting it on, so they might do that again. I was like, you can shoo them off. And she was like, fuck yeah, thanks for telling me. I was like, yeah, my day's kind of ruined now.
Maybe need protein. How do you come back from that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Do you come back from that?
Well, I went to Natalie and she made me come back to good things.
Oh my god, great.
What?
I went and ate like freaking, I don't know, like half a freaking gallon of ice cream and like watched some funny fucking movies and like passed out.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'd have smoked that image right out of my brain.
I probably
did that
would have drank a bottle of Jack.
Right.
Yeah, well, shit,
right.
My phone is actually going to die, so I just wanted to call you and tell you the story real quick.
With a little
well, we
bumpy ride.
That.
The craziest thing, though, is in the middle of the daytime.
Right?
It's
well,
grime. It's
yeah.
not grind. It's grime.
Was it morning or daytime? Because you don't want to waste the morning with. That's, like, the best direction of the day.
No, it wasn't the morning time, dude. It was like 12:15, 12:30. I was
oh,
like,
that's fine.
Straight
that's
up,
when,
lunchtime.
People wake up at noon
yeah.
all the time, man. Yeah. That could have been some...
Yeah,
some.
They just woke up behind the dumpster. He had morning wood.
She was walking
right.
by, and she looked
yeah.
really wide with her fucking sleeping bag
poncho.
And backpack.
It was pretty uncomfortable, truthfully.
It was like,
it was
hey,
funny,
baby.
Too, because I gave them a little bit to, like,
you don't want this to go
put
to
their
waste.
Clothes back on. And when they, like, left, they were like, sorry. I was like, why are you apologizing to me? I just didn't want to walk by that shit.
I didn't
no,
want to
right,
get...
yeah.
You,
I didn't
want
to throw up
on
you.
Come
no,
on
sorry.
You.
I almost wanted to throw up anyway. I was like, oh, my God.
It was not hot at all.
Well, then you make sure, you want to make sure he doesn't, like, splooge on your legs and stuff.
Yeah,
you don't want to be an injury
because he sees you watching and he gets all like that. Ooh, I'm being watched. And he just like starts busting off everywhere.
Well,
like
no, the thing that confuses the crap out of me is that I've worked the pizza
that
for
that fucking glitter party. All right, so
is
the
that what a
glitter
party
told me
is?
We have,
because I'm still trying to figure that out. I've been invited to this and
great.
I've never gone.
There's a glitter party.
Yeah, if you don't want to go, Mary.
What
you
just stand
in the middle of the room and guys funk on you.
Going on. I don't know.
That doesn't sound fun.
All right, so the British lady told me we have 90 seconds left. That's that little voice just popped up in my head, and so we should
you
take an opportunity 90 before.
Seconds.
That's just the live show, though. We'll keep going after that. Oh, 60 seconds now. So the people that are listening live, you're gonna stop getting to hear.
45.
We're going to keep for a little while, and so you can. Check, click
seconds.
On the link again and listen
seconds.
To us when we're back in archives and just jump ahead 2 hours and finish out the rest of the show. So for everybody listening, thank you.
35 seconds.
35 seconds. I think we might have about 15 minutes left. Would you like a spot of tea?
Oh, no, let's have some tea. Let's have a spot of tea.
Didn't we decide, okay, we're going to get that lady, we're going to get that lady Wade, right? The Blog Talk Radio voice lady. We have to find her. She does.
Yeah,
totally
we need
does.
To find her, and we need to get her laid. Or, like, give her a kitten to pet, maybe?
Right. Is that a euphemism? Just,
up a bit.
Just show her how to double-click her mouse, you know.
Yeah, even something.
Yeah, 10 seconds. All right, so thank you.
All right,
everybody
Occupy Underground Radio.
Live.
Thank
you. Episode 27.
We'll see you guys later. Occupy Radio rocks.
Good night, Greg.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right,
good
so
night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We love you. Do it again. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, and we're in the after party. So it lets us keep going for a while. It actually, and I don't know, it's very temperamental. Because sometimes it'll let us keep going for like 15 minutes and then it shuts off on it. One time it let us go for a full 45 minutes after midnight before it cut us off. You never really know when it's going to happen. So, I don't know.
It depends on how it's feeling.
Yeah, and it always sucks. Like when I go to, I'll play some music, and it's like halfway through a song. I think like the last week it ended in the middle of a review of the song. A good one too, and I was like, ah, motherfucker, why do you do that shit to me?
Of course, it would be a good song. Like if you're playing a song that you're like, yeah, this song's all right. I feel okay about this song, and then it plays the whole thing. It's a song that you're like, no, people need to hear this.
Yeah,
then
totally. People need to hear this. That's why I was playing it, because it was like I didn't have time to play it earlier in the show, and I was like, no, I'm going to play this in the after party. People fucking need to hear this, and then it got halfway through, and Blog Talk Radio was like, no, people do not need to hear this, and you need to deal with your patience and your frustration, so I'm going to cut this off in the middle, and you're going to take it, and you're going to like it. That's what Blog Talk Radio said. I even got an email.
They're trying to censor you, man.
It does.
They don't want
the
people to hear what they need to hear.
They've dropped our
show. I just heard you need to deal with your Asians. That's what I heard.
Yeah, you do.
Is that what you said?
I think so. Yeah. We should.
I don't even know.
Deal with Asian.
I think my oven is done. I'm like, I'm not for sure, guys, but like, I feel a little paranoid, but it has cooled down a lot. I don't hear or smell gas coming from it.
I don't know.
Is it off?
I don't know.
It's like, it doesn't have a knob with it. There's a light,
but no,
the pilot is gas. The pilot is off, and it's not emitting any more heat. It's starting to cool down. So that's good.
All right.
But I'm wondering if the pilot just went out and it's just putting off gas, because I'm automatically going to go to that crazy. Like, oh, my God, it might be putting off gas right now.
No, it's
but
not a cut
off. And I don't hear it. So
yeah.
I think I'm okay. And I don't like to think because I have to know for sure. And I don't know.
If it's going to bother you and keep you up, then maybe you should take something like a wad up a paper or roll up a paper towel so it's long and light it and stick it under there and wave it all around and see if you can get the pilot fine. Put it next to the pilot light. See if anything's coming out. But you should be fine. I think they've got an automatic cutoff anyway.
It's an old ass oven bin.
Not as old as the shit over here, Mary. Yeah.
All right. Well.
Have you seen it?
I don't want to fuck around with it too much, though. That's my only conundrum. So I don't want to fuck around with it.
Like, if my bathtub came to life, it could actually wander through the house because it has feet.
It does. It's a really cool bathtub.
It does.
I was in your hobbit.
I wish my bathtub had feet. I've always wanted a bathtub.
It's awesome.
A clawfoot. Yeah.
And it's all deep, too. Like, I can be fully submerged in water in this thing. They don't make bathtubs like this anymore. They do, but they charge you a bunch of money for you and tell you that they're special, whereas they all used to be that big, so you could wash your ass. That was the point.
They do, then they don't.
Then they don't.
They don't. They just don't.
Well, I'm going to go. I thank you, episode 27. I'm signing out for the night. We're in the after party, I'm pretty pooped, and I love you guys. And next week, episode 28, right? Woo, we're getting almost.
That's right. And then we'll have a party after 30.
We will. We'll have to have like a 30th birthday
party. Okay, wait, before you take off, let's talk for a minute. We're gonna let's tip out this show that we've got coming up on November 1st and 2nd, because. Friday night, November 1st, we're having a party here at the Route 66 Hostel. We've got the whole
DJ
building.
Buddha Folk?
Yeah, Buddha from Reviva will be here DJing. I think Rob Mackey is going to come down and hang out and play some acoustic shit on the front porch, too. There won't be any guests here. It'll all just be friends hanging out. And then, so come on down and hang out with us. And we've got a lot of readers coming in from out of state. That'll be staying here, so it's kind of like a, you know, hangout, meet and greet. Then the show on the 2nd, we've got five bands. We've got Element 37, Bandwidth No Name, Mary's Band, Good Green,
American, no?
American Flame.
American?
Just Lazarus. Yeah, we got American Flame. Mm,
okay, awesome.
Yeah. And Sal's Band, Just Lazarus, and Luke Squat. We got, so that's the five. Sal, or Just Lazarus, Element 37, Vandals No Name, Good Green, American Flame. And we've got five comics, right? We've got you, Margaret. We've got one of your roommates.
Sarah Kennedy. Sarah Kennedy.
And
she's like kind of a big deal.
She is a big deal.
She's a big
off
deal.
We saw her at Blackbird. She was at Blackbird the first night I got up and read poetry to people. I remember.
Oh man, when was that? Because I was possibly there.
Me and Ben were judging the poetry slam.
Yeah, we did. Right, and they raffled off the meat coat that night.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, the meat quilt was pretty badass.
I might have missed that night.
Okay. Well, that was the night. Yeah, and then who else? We got Keith Breckenridge and Rusty Rhymes and Kurt Fletcher.
Yeah.
And then a bunch
those
of...
Are,
those are what?
Those are all awesome. No, those are all good ones to have.
Fuck yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a cool show. We're going to do it down at Santa Film.
I am
too,
and I'm going to see this shit. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah,
Yeah, all the time. Radio in the house. And we're going to read, Mary. We've got a bunch of different poems.
I know. Me and Ben are
going to
collab on the poem.
We are. We're going to read a duet.
Duet. Oh, my
gosh. That's what they call it, doesn't it? It sounds horrible, doesn't it? Makes you almost not want to do it when you can we call it something else?
All right. So I'm going to go two also. I don't know. I'm going to go two.
Two also.
And both well.
We're all going to go. We're going to wrap up the show. We're going to play a little more audio for the people that continue to listen and see how long Blog Talk Radio lets us go. But thank you. Thank you very much, Margaret, for hanging out. And
thank you.
And I had a lot
you?
Of fun tonight.
We're Facebook friends now. I think we really need to hang out in, like, real life.
I know. Yes,
I
we do.
Thinking,
we just
we
made
do.
It
we
Facebook
need to hang
official,
out in real life.
So I think that we should.
Yeah.
And apparently we're neighbors, so.
We're totally neighbors. Like, we could walk across the street, have coffee at Dobbs Joe's. Who knows?
Fuck yeah. Actually, you should have coffee. I've got the coolest front porch in all of Albuquerque with a rocking chair and everything. Yeah.
I love that. Your front porch rocks.
You have rocking chairs?
It does. I do. I got some ivy going up.
So bad.
It's a beautiful, like, front porch with ivy on it and everything. I mean, like, it has the ivy growing on it, and there's plants, and it overlooks Central. It's a pretty badass freaking front porch.
All right. I'm down for that coffee experience.
Yes. Come over for coffee in the morning. I'll be working the desk. I can hang out and have coffee with you on the porch. Because that's
perfect.
What I do when I work the morning shift. I wake up and go down and make coffee and then go sit at the desk.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so
awesome.
Let's wrap it up. We'll play a little more audio. Thank you again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Occupy Underground Radio, episode 27. Peace out.
Good night. Bye.
All right, good night, everybody.
Over.
Crossfire, on the left, Tom Brayton. On the right, Robert Novak. In the crossfire, Washington Times columnist John Lofton and rock musician Frank Zappa.
Good evening. Welcome to Crossfire. What you've got here is suggestive, and I don't find it objectionable. But when you actually listen to the words of the songs, you get a shock. Personally, I find some of them in such bad taste as to make me physically ill, and some of them I wouldn't have in the house. Now, on the other hand, do we want the government to ban the sale of records with lyrics the government doesn't like? Do we want the government to say this is okay, but this one will have to go? And who should be the government censor? Whose job should it be to listen all day to dirty records and decide whether you can? Do you want censorship of records as is now being proposed in Maryland and in congressional hearings, or do you want to make the decision on your own? Take it or leave it, all by yourself. Bob?
Mr. Zappa, let me see if I can get your position straight. Are you saying that there is no filth, no pornography, no obscenity that should not be permitted to be sold and distributed freely in this country in the form of music videos and rock music?
I don't think that music qualifies as pornography. And especially since this whole business started with...